No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the Yard. Hope you guys are having a great week, a great day, a great month, a great summer. I understand that, we're about 3 weeks away. About 3 weeks away from the first preseason practice of football season for Mississippi State. I'm excited about that. I am. As shared with you guys before, I can't wait for football season to get here because you never know what's going to happen, right? You think you know, but you don't always know. There's always something cool that happens. Media Days will be coming up very soon. You have Big 12 Media Days wrapping up this week. But Coach Jeff Lebby has picked Blake Shapen, your quarterback. No surprise there. Isaac Smith, probably one of the best ambassadors for the program that we have. And then wide receiver Brennan Thompson, who showed up from Oklahoma. Not sure I would have predicted that, but now in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. It's a guy that knows Jeff Lebby, kind of knows the offense, you know, knew Jeff from when he was at Oklahoma. We expect some big things from him. And so, yeah, he's also extremely well-spoken. I think you guys are really going to like him. You know, I have a chance to interview him a couple times, and I can tell you that he is a guy that handles himself exceptionally well and will be a good ambassador for Mississippi State. As Media Days get underway, we'll do another opponent preview today. Got another top 10 list. As you guys know, we're working through the face cards. Got a challenge. Might challenge me to do that. It's been fun, too. If you have a challenge, send it my way. You never know. You think you know, you can't stump me. You think you can. Like I have stumped Eddie Trunk, just so you guys know. Sat in the lobby of the Hard Rock in Tulsa, Oklahoma. During Rocklahoma weekend, and Eddie was going to just give me one of his books. We have mutual friends. He was just going to give me one of his books, and I said, no, I want to earn it. Allow me to stump you. I did. So if I can stump Eddie Trunk, I think I can handle anything you throw at me. Some of you people are like, Steve, who in the world is Eddie Trunk? Well, he was the host of That Metal Show and a legendary A&R man during the metal scene. Has a great radio show and podcast on Sirius, Hair Nation, and others. Great guy. Missed that show, too. Missed that metal show. It was fun. It was. It truly was. But so we'll talk about that. We've got some more baseball stuff to talk about. And I'm going to spend some time in my first segment kind of recounting a conversation that I had with Rowdy Jordan today. Very insightful interview. You can read it in its entirety for free over jeanspage.com. You should be a member, but if you're not, you can go read that for free. Everybody loves Rowdy, right? You may have named your kid Rowdy. If you didn't, maybe you should. I joked with Ani and his wife Betsy that no matter what they named our grandson, I was going to call him Rowdy. Originally, it was going to be Jax, and then Betsy watched Sons of Anarchy and was like, no, I can't do that. I can't name my first male son, male-born child, after a killer. And I'm like, it wasn't necessarily about him. It's just a cool name. But nevertheless, there is no Jax. But nevertheless, I think you guys are going to be excited about the show. But Rowdy had some things to say, and that's why you interview these people, right? Like, you don't know what you don't know. And that's one of the things that I asked him about, was about life in the minor leagues. And I think that's a very timely story. Rowdy just retired here about a month ago from professional baseball. And some people didn't know that, but he's retired. And he spoke kind of at length about, you know, what it is to be in the minor leagues, what the living conditions are like, and things of that nature. And as he says, you know, hey, you're getting to play ball for a living, so it's not all bad. But there's a lot of things that go with that. And I learned a lot from talking to Rowdy about the experience. That's one of the reasons I made that story. I could have just slapped a VIP label on it, do it behind the paywall. But I thought, you know what? Rowdy has a message. We provided a platform to deliver that message, and we're going to let all Bulldog fans enjoy what Rowdy had to say. Kind of a lengthy article. But again, you can go check it out on our Jeans page. I'm going to give you some of the highlights and some of my insight into what Rowdy had to say in our first segment. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We've loved them for a long, 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 long time. I love going in there. I do. And I love getting to-go, too. I think during the COVID crisis, they kind of perfected the to-go order. I mean, truthfully. I mean, and you think about burgers, right? Like, there's so much that goes with it. And so they do such a good job packaging that stuff up. So if you've got to eat on the go, maybe you don't have time to go put your feet under their table and let them just kind of take care of you. You can get your food to go, get it back to the office, or eat it on the road. I don't recommend that, but you never know. I don't know what you're dealing with. But they do a great job, whether it's to-go or in-house, or if you're bringing it back to the office. There's just, you know, the last thing you want is to get a to-go order, and you get back to your desk, you're ready to sit down and have an enjoyable meal, and everything looks like fruit basket turnover, and it's just a mess. And some of you are weird, right? You don't like your food to touch, and that's okay. I got a kid like that. They don't like their food to touch. I don't really care. They do. But if you don't want your food to touch, it's not going to if you get it to go at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And I'm a guy too. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth. Even if I don't feel like the shake, you know, sometimes I'll get the dessert to go. Right? And they have so many options to choose from. So maybe check that out too. Maybe you can bring some cheesecake home or whatever the pie of the day is, you know, that kind of stuff. There's always something. And I'm the kind of guy, I got to have a palate cleanser. It drives my wife crazy because she can eat a Cajun meal and then just like be done. I don't. There's all this ritual with me. No matter what it is, whether it's getting a Werther's original or having a piece of key lime pie, I've got to have something to cleanse the palate. Maybe you're like that too. Let Bulldog Burger Company help you with that. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, we talked a little bit about Rowdy. I would say there's a couple things that he said that really stand out to me. And I'm not going to read the quotes. But one of the things, like, here's what we know about minor league baseball, right? It's a lot of long bus rides. Right, and it's not always the best of buses. I mean, it's not like they're riding in an old repurposed school bus. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a very glamorous life. A lot of long bus rides, and they're not very restful. I guess maybe you learn to sleep in a sitting up position. I have never been able to do that. But the long bus rides, a lot of times guys like share apartments, and they're not like luxury apartments. But to save money, because everybody's basically living off their signing bonus. And so you kind of pull your resources together. And then, you know, this month you may have these two roommates. And then one of them may get called up or sent down or get released. And then you got to plug somebody else in. And so it's not the best of living conditions. And that's not in any way to suggest that these guys are just slumming it. But in some respects, they are. It's not necessarily what you would choose. But you say, you know what, Steve, it's a means to a greater end. And I agree with that. But when you work through all of this, a lot of fast food, a lot of bus rides, a lot of time in hotels, and then when you're home, you're not really home, it's difficult to get comfortable. I guess after playing in college, you could be somewhat acclimated to that. But think about what that does for the high school kid. And that's one thing that I ask Rowdy about, you know, what's it like for these guys like 18 years of age, you know, signing, leaving home for the first time, and then kind of being thrust into this. And he made some great comments. Like, even Rowdy, a guy in his early 20s, you know, found the relationship building at times a little bit strained. You know, it's like, hey, you got great friends. However, it's not like it is in college. And that's one thing that Jake Mangum told me some time ago. He goes, you know, it's not like it is in college, because in college, like, you're doing everything together. You know, you get your meals together. You got BP together. You're going to class together. You're doing your extra work together. You know, you spend so much time in Starkville and so much time around the amenities of Duty Noble Field. It's always easy to find those guys. And then you get a little time off. You go hang out in the Cotton District together, or you get a house together, you know, out in the country, and you just kind of handle your business out there. But there is a brotherhood among college teammates. There is. There's a relationship in the minor leagues, because you never know from really one week to the next who's going to be here and who's not. And so when you're in college, you kind of expect, hey, these are my guys, and we're going to be together at least throughout the season, likely through the fall. There'll be some guys who leave in December. But by and large, your group of friends, at least for a year's time, is pretty much the same. And so you build these bonds. And he's made a great comment, too. He goes, I don't know anybody that went off to college that, you know, maybe a couple hours or more away from home and didn't get homesick. Now, I'm a guy that really never got homesick. Like, when I went, so now I get homesick sometimes now. I'm ready to be home, and when I'm home, I'm home, right? I enjoy traveling. As a matter of fact, yesterday my wife said, hey, let's go shoot some pool and have some $1 tacos at Rick's, because I think you're getting a little cabin fever. And there's some truth in that. I mean, it's every day is pretty much the same. You get up, produce content, wait for the wife to get home, you have dinner with her, you watch Big Bang Theory reruns or a movie, and you go to bed. Get up, do the same thing tomorrow. There's no press conferences or ball games or anything like that going on right now. And so think about that aspect of it when you're 18 years of age and you're in the minor leagues. You sign this big contract, right? And everybody's excited, and you get some of your signing bonus, and you're able to go get a car, and some people go kind of shop above their means and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is you get a chance to enjoy some of the fruit of your labor, and then the next thing you know, you're parking that Range Rover at Mama's house because you got to report and get on a plane and go fly somewhere out to Arizona or to Miami. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's over, right? All the pomp and circumstance of the draft is over. Now it's time to go to work. And you're 18 years of age, and then you're not equally situated with your teammates. And what I mean by that is, you may have a guy that's 18 years old on the same team as a guy that's 25. You know, a guy that's already put in 5-6 years in the minors. A guy that may be a little bit jaded. A guy that may be married. A guy that may have children. The guy may have a significant relationship. So, that, you know, that guy's not going out after the ball game or after practice and having tacos with you. I mean, that's a grown man with grown man responsibilities. It's not a party for him. And then you're so young, you probably can't even get in the bar. And if you do, you can't drink, can't get out there and party. And so a lot of times, these younger people really feel alone. Because even though they're one of the guys, they're not really one of the guys. Now, you go out there and you shove a little bit, you get a big hit or make a big play, they kind of bring in the circle a little bit, but you're always going to be the kid. And you don't have the benefit of going off to college, leaving home for the first time, and kind of living in that bubble a little bit to prepare you and mature you. I mean, how many people do you know, and let's be honest about it, How many people do you know, mom had to wake you up your senior year of high school to remind you to go to class? Let's get up and get ready for school. I'm very fortunate I didn't have to do that for my kids. But a lot of it's because I kind of prepared them younger to kind of be a little more self-sufficient. You keep your room clean. Get your dirty clothes put in the laundry. Get your dirty dishes put in the sink. You know, we did that. You know, not that I'm some field general or anything, but we did that. We had those discussions as they were growing up to kind of socialize them a little bit, but also, too, to kind of prepare them to go off to college. Because there's nobody there to get you up in college. And so that's an aspect of it. Like, when you're doing that in college, as Rowdy so succinctly and accurately portrays, you're doing it with your peer group. You don't have freshmen that are married. You don't have freshmen that have families. You don't have freshmen that have had these experiences before. So everybody is kind of experiencing it at the same time. And then you kind of learn to lean on each other. You know, it's like, hey, man, you want to go home with me this weekend? I kind of want to go home. You know, can you want to go home? Yeah, man, let's go do that. Well, you're not going to do that in the minor leagues. And more times than not, you're not going to be able to go to one of your older teammates and cry on their shoulder because you're missing mama. All of a sudden, you don't have somebody to do your laundry. You know, it doesn't just miraculously wash and dry and fold itself and put itself in the closet or in the drawers. And so by going to college, you kind of learn to kind of take care of yourself. And that, in many respects, prepares you for adulthood. And sometimes looking around my office, you would say that I'm ill-prepared for adulthood. You know, I don't always clean up as often as I should. But the reality of it is, I'm not in minor league baseball either. I'm at home. And so there's some aspects of that that I think sometimes maybe don't get spoken about enough. An 18, 19-year-old kid on the road, a lot of temptations, and not a lot of support in that respect. Yeah, you hang out with your guys, but it's not the same as growing up together in college. You think about that relationship between T.A. and Rowdy Jordan. That happened on the field and off the field. Brad Compass, part of the same peer group. T.A. has said multiple times, best hunt buddy he ever had was Brad Compass, the mule, as he calls him, you know, mule. I don't know if you guys saw this recently. Mule was bitten by a chicken snake driving down the road. Can you imagine that, driving down the road and a chicken snake or any kind of snake comes out from under your seat and bites you on the back of the leg? Not good. But Mule handled it like a champ. But my point is, when these guys have a chance to come in together and bond together, when they have those moments of homesickness or frustration, or maybe coach has gotten on them, maybe they flunked a test or misturning an assignment, you've got somebody with you within your peer group that understands the same challenges and demands that you're going through, so they can help you. Do you think an 18 and 19 year old rookie is going to be able to go to, you know, the 23, 24 year old veteran guy? They're just not equally situated. They're not similarly situated from a maturity standpoint. You know, and for the 23, 24-year-old guy, you're trying to get the call up, right? You're not there to be, quote, be the mentor. Now, you'll be a good teammate, but you know what I'm saying? There's just not a lot you got in common. You know, I tell people all the time, the greatest variance in all of youth sports especially, is the freshman to the senior. All of a sudden, you have the freshman high school pitcher that shows up, probably should be in JV, against a senior, because some of these seniors these days are, you know, 18, 19 years old, some of them pushing 20. And you got your 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid out there trying to get him out. You're going to grow up pretty quick. It's a much different dynamic. And I don't know, in all the years that I've done this, if I fully appreciated that until Rowdy Jordan said it. I think that's an important aspect. This is a guy that's lived it. Like, he wins a national championship here in 21. You know, by the time we get home and have the parade, next thing you know, the draft's here. He gets drafted 11th round by the Mets, and next thing you know, you're waiting for assignment. And then this has been your life for a while. And so I thought it was important and kind of a timely story to get Rowdy Jordan on the phone now that he's retired and let him talk a little bit about that. And the response to the article, extremely positive. A lot of people talk about very insightful. And Rowdy's a very intelligent guy. Got his degree in finance. His dad's a very successful business guy, too. Rowdy will be fine, okay? Rowdy also knows what it's like to have had the opportunity to chase the dream and then kind of reach a point where he realizes, hey, this is not going to end the way I want it to. And so rather than wait around and get cut or take somebody else's spot, I'm going to go ahead and bow out. But he talked about how difficult it is to be mentally tough as a younger guy. And again, this is Rowdy Jordan's a guy that won a national championship at Mississippi State, played in the toughest league in the country, and talks about how important it is to be physically and mentally prepared. And he says, hey, it's a tough, tough assignment, you know, for a high school guy. And he said, listen, I'm not saying don't sign out of high school. And there are some guys out there that the incentive to sign is so great. It's life-changing money. You should consider that. I mean, you have to, right? I mean, it's like a no-brainer. If you're going to be a guy drafted in the first round, you're going to get multi-million dollars, you absolutely have to sign. You have to.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
It'd be irresponsible not to. You know, but if you're a guy that's going to get maybe a couple $100,000, you know, maybe it's worth your time to come back, go to college, and give yourself 3 years to mature. And then maybe put yourself in a situation that you play your way into maybe a seven-digit contract. There's no guarantees in life. You got to work for everything. I mean, we are in a eat what you kill society for the most part. And I don't want to chase that for very long. I believe in a meritocracy. And that's really what sports provides. You know, only the strong survive. And you get out there and you can't get it done, and they eventually lose sight of you, they cut you. And at some point, we all get cut in sports. Some people just happen to get cut at the pro level. Many of us never even get a chance to play in college. But when you think about that aspect of it, like if it was your 18-year-old child, let's just take money out of the equation. Because, like, again, if he's going to get paid millions of dollars, you have to do it. You tough it out. You figure it out, right? If they're that invested in you, they're going to have a development plan for you. But maybe you're not in that case. You know, and we've had some guys in the past, you know, I remember Walter Young from Purvis, who was committed to play football at LSU, got drafted like in the 39th round at a Major League Baseball draft when we had that big a draft, and he signed a pro contract. And then next thing you know, he was out of baseball in no time. And so you think about, there's some people that are like, hey, I just want to get my pro career started. And I get that. But you need to make sure that you're properly prepared. And listen, I'm a college baseball guy. I believe college baseball prepares you. And Rowdy said the same thing. He said, I feel like playing in the SEC and playing at Mississippi State better prepared me to kind of get up the ladder in pro ball. And that's the message that Brian O'Connor's been preaching. Is it, you know, hey, young man, you get a chance to decide how you want to spend your years 18 and 21. And there's some people out there that believe, hey, well, if I go ahead and get into rookie ball now and then get into single A, then maybe within 3 years I can be triple A or in the major leagues. And the chances of that happening are not great. That's a few and far between equation. But if you look at Dave Marchand, right? Guys, David Marchand played for us in 2024. And as part of his contract, it was the double-A thing, right? And there was a stretch there where he went to triple-A. He was one step away from the big leagues, 1 year removed from wearing a Mississippi State uniform. And had he not been injured, he probably stays at triple-A. Gets a little bit banged up. They bring him back down to 2-A. And he's having a really good first year. Of course, he had the short season last year. But do you think David Marchand, if he had signed out of high school, would be in this situation? Honest to goodness. I mean, of course, David was draft eligible sophomore and turned down money to come to Mississippi State. And his brother may have to do the same. But do you think Dave Marchand, 3 years in, would have been triple-A if he hadn't gone to play baseball at Mississippi State? I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but I think not. That's what I believe. And I think there's a lot of people out there that romanticize this stuff so much because they don't talk to you about going and playing rookie ball or A ball, and you don't have any family in the crowd. Matter of fact, there's not much of a crowd anyway. You show up sometimes, you play a game for 100 people. There's no atmosphere. You're just playing for the love of the game. It's a much different dynamic. And then you got to go back to a hotel room or an apartment where you really don't know anybody. That's one of the things Jake told me too, like when he was working through the minors. He goes, you know, you just don't get to spend as much time together. You spend a lot of time on your phone in your hotel room. And there's a lot of people, that's what they do anyway, right? I mean, they're just laying around looking at their phones, waiting for the next big thing to happen, waiting for somebody to say, okay, we report this time at BP. Here's your schedule for the day. Or you play video games all day, every day. There's some people that do that stuff too. But the reality of it is, it's not a great life. And everybody talks about, you're going to be in the show someday. Because that's what they've seen. Right? They've seen you play high school ball, and they say, hey, one day you're going to be in the show. They don't tell you all the difficult steps. And those things prepare you to get there, right? You learn to be mentally tough if you're not already. But that's why I'm always a proponent to go to school. Unless you're getting life-changing money. And what I mean by that, I mean, that's got to be million plus. Has to be. It has to be. Because if they're that invested in you, they're going to have a plan for you. They're going to look after you. But if you're a guy that signs for $150,000, you know who's going to decide? Like if you're with the Yankees, it ain't going to be Brian Cashman that cuts you. It's going to be your minor league manager. He's going to be like, hey, this kid's just not getting it. We don't have anything invested in him. Let's just go ahead and cut him. We get some at-bats for other people. And that's really what the minor leagues are for, is to get guys at-bats and to get guys innings. And if you're a guy that's wasting at-bats, then you're wasting opportunities for other players. And so your minor league manager will just go make a phone call one day and say, hey, we're cutting this kid loose. And that's going to be the end of it. You won't even get a chance to meet with the big league club or the manager or anything. You'll just get processed out. That's a dirty reality of minor league baseball. If they're not invested in you, it makes it easy for them to let you go. But there's so many people out there, everybody around them, and everybody's guilty of it, right? And you have the best of intentions. You're gassing them up, you're supporting them. But sometimes, and this is why it's important that I think that these athletes have advisors now. They're basically agents. But you have an advisor that can tell you the reality of the situation, because let's be honest, your parents don't know. Your high school coach probably doesn't know. Certainly those people in your ear, your peers, don't know. They don't understand that this journey might not get you where you want to go. You got to go chase it. You owe it to yourself, right? You get an opportunity to play pro baseball, you got to go do it. I just think you're better prepared for it after college. And with so many kids getting held back these days, you got a lot of draft-eligible sophomores. Like, you know, Aiden Teal is a great example. Transferring to Mississippi State as a draft-eligible sophomore because he had the redshirt year, he got injured back in 23. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. And so as a result, he's got plenty of leverage to work with. But he's in a scenario, too, where, hey, I may go to Mississippi State, play against the SEC, and just kind of better myself and then put myself in a better draft position next year. I wrote an article earlier today, too, about the senior savers. You remember this, too? You know, like Jake got drafted 2 years in a row, you know, in their 30s. Like the Yankees took him in the 30th and the Mets in the 32nd. And then Mets came back, I guess, and got him much earlier. But he signed a signing bonus, $20,000, right? Senior savers, right? So there's a lot of people out there that think, hey, you come back, like Jake came back and improved his draft positioning. Well, he really didn't. It actually cost himself about $280,000. And it's worked out for him, right, because he's in the big leagues now. And that was probably going to be the case no matter when Jake went. But Jake loved Mississippi State, and Jake wanted that hits record, and he had it. He wanted a chance to go compete for a national championship. All those things are important. But you need to understand, too, how the collective bargaining agreement works. Like, and you may see Hunter Hines go in the top 10 rounds, and people are going to be like, hey, what a story. He went undrafted last year. Guys, he could have been drafted last year if he was willing to sign for next to nothing. Could have been. But he elected not to. Wanted to come back. Similar situation. Granted, you know, Jake didn't have NIL to help him. Hunter Hines did. But I share that with you because as we get into the draft, there's going to be some people that don't understand how the draft works. They're going to have a lot to say. So I've tried to write some articles this week to prepare people for some of that. But I would encourage you to go read the Rowdy Jordan interview. And again, we made it free just for that benefit. Because I think Rowdy Jordan, a guy that's, you know, a month removed from the minors and out of pro baseball, has some insight that I think is rather unique. It kind of explains all of this from more of the emotional side of living through this for the last few years. And it's not necessarily something that had to be endured. I just think the reality of it is Rowdy just felt like, you know what, I've kind of reached the end of this. I've gone as far as baseball will take me as a player. And so now I got to go do something else. And not everybody has that luxury. But I think it's important for high school guys. You think about a guy that was as ultra successful as Tanner Allen. Right? Tanner Allen was a National College Baseball Player of the Year. He's out of pro ball. Rowdy Jordan, one of the greatest to ever wear the uniform, along with T.A., is out of pro baseball. And so as prepared as those guys could have been for the minors, they're no longer doing it. And so when you think about a high school kid out there that maybe hadn't had those years of cultivation, those years of support, those years of physical, mental, and emotional maturity, if they decide to hang it up, what chance does this high school kid have? The high school kids, everybody gasses them up and says, you're going to be different and special. And that comes from love, but also from a position of ignorance. And there's some people that say, you know what, you got to take it. I mean, you have to take it. Your mom and dad have paid so much money to allow you to travel all over the country to chase this dream. You got to take it. A lot of kids feel that kind of pressure. But I think having advisors and people in their ear that can kind of explain, hey, this is what you can expect. This is what life's going to be like. And I think Brian O'Connor has it right. I think you guys probably agree with that too. You know, we've seen so many players that have come here that have taken a big jump. And you can say, well, you know, they'll figure it out in the minors. You know, I just think that there's some young people that at least need the benefit of learning how to care for themselves before they deal with the pressures of professional baseball. You know how to set an alarm clock. you know how to cook for yourself a little bit, so you're not constantly doing DoorDash and things of that nature. But again, I'm always going to be a guy that advocates to go play college ball, unless you just get a deal you simply can't turn down. And everybody's situation's a little bit different, but I think having advisors and being able to plan for the long play rather than just the immediate play, don't be a sucker for the quick reward. You know, understand that if you work hard and play hard, you can play yourself into a much better situation. And not to mention, too, look at Rowdy Jordan, too. Rowdy Jordan retires, and Rowdy Jordan has his college degree. So Rowdy had the benefit of playing college ball, winning an AFL championship, playing pro ball for a few years, got to make some memories there, and got enough of it to realize, you know what, I'm not going to make the show, so it's time for me to bow out and go do something else. But he's going to have the benefit of having a college degree to work with in finance. If you go the high school route, you know what's going to happen 3 years into this thing, when either you decide you've had enough or they decide that you've had enough? They may give you the money then to go to college. Then all of a sudden you're going to be the old, then you're going to be the old man in the room, right? Then you're going to be 22, 23 years old as a freshman with a bunch of 18-year-old kids. So you got to decide what's important to you. So with that in mind, Rowdy Jordan's going to be our Close with Blair player of the day. Reach out to Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344. Give Blair's 24 years of knowledge and expertise working on your behalf. There's so many things about the mortgage industry that perhaps you don't know. There's always things that are changing, right? So Blair, it's his job to keep up with that, to make sure that you have a great experience. He will be your advocate with underwriting. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Don't overthink it, right? Don't wait until somebody else disappoints you before you call Blair. Go ahead and give him a call today, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, perhaps that game day condo, turn to Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Mentioned it earlier, Rowdy, of course, a Mississippi State legend. If we don't have the abbreviated draft in 2020 of just five rounds, Rowdy's probably drafted and signed then, and we don't have him at 2021. It's just one of those things that happens. It worked that well for us, but you know what? It happened to everybody else, too. The abbreviated draft had more guys going back to school, and now, of course, you don't have the 40-round draft. You've got the 20-round draft, and so as a result, I think we're seeing a much better college game around the country. So with that in mind, we're very grateful to Rowdy Jordan for all his contributions to Mississippi State. People forget, man, he came to State as a second baseman, ended up being a starting left fielder. Yeah, him and Jake for years, you know, side by side out there. Loved the fact that we had back-to-back switch hitters at the top of the order, too. I don't know that we win that super regional with Vanderbilt without those guys, for sure. So, again, Rowdy Jordan, your Close to Blair player of the day. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. That's the guitar shop. Make it your guitar shop. It is a Mississippi State guitar shop owned and operated by Bulldogs down in Lake Jackson, Texas. You can go by and see the showroom when you're in the greater Houston area. Got a little time to kill. Go by and check out that cool shop. I hope to do that when we go play at Texas A&M this year. That's the plan anyway. But you don't have to wait for that. You can visit them online at KalitoGuitars.com. You can call. We're going to give you a promo code and give you some incentive to do business with them. Of course, it's BSR. That gets you 10% discount off your purchase. That gets you free shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And a 5% donation of your purchase price goes to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. So not only are you getting a quality instrument at a discounted price, you're helping Mississippi State in the process. So whether you're looking for a beginner guitar or a professional-grade guitar, an electric, a classical, an acoustic, gig bags, cases, accessories, anything you need guitar-related, you can find at Kalito Guitars. And I believe in keeping business in the family whenever we can. These people are Bulldogs through and through. They still have family here in Starkville and get back from time to time. So I encourage you, reach out today to KalitoGuitars.com and use that promo code BSR to help yourself and to help Mississippi State. All right. You know, we started with the ace list, and somebody challenged me to do the rest of the face cards. And so here we are. We did the kings on Monday. We'll do the queens today. Now, these are rock songs. Okay. There's no Juice Newton, Queen of Hearts. There's no Lil Nas X song. You can kind of figure that out. But there's a few Queen songs out there that didn't make our list. Pop song Caribbean or Caribbean Queen from Billy Ocean did not make the list, but is worthy of a mention. These are all rock songs. We could probably put a country Queens list together too. You know, Queen of the Double Wide or whatever. You know, there's all that stuff, but these are just rock songs. Number 10, one of my favorite from Yngwie Malmsteen. A lot of you have that Rising Force album. And Joe Lynn Turner was the vocalist. We talk about Joe Lynn from time to time on the show. Joe Lynn was in Rainbow and then did some work with Yngwie Malmsteen. I think that was the best of the Yngwie years, is when Joe Lynn Turner was the singer. Great vocalist. Probably doesn't get enough respect. Probably doesn't. But a great track called Queen in Love. It's got an interesting vocal delivery in the chorus. I used to think that maybe Joe Lynn was singing off key, but as I matured and I began to figure out that that was just a nice affect. Number 9, and I don't know what it is about kings and queens, we've been able to get Motorhead on the list back-to-back days. It's Queen of the Damned from Motorhead. It's fun to say that too, Queen of the Damned. Number 8, a band that I like a lot, a band that actually opened for Motley Crue. They've had a change in lineup a couple times. I saw them most recently at the Hideaway a few years back with Nonpoint. I went to see Nonpoint. I enjoyed Hinder, but I went to see Nonpoint. Went to go see Elias Soriano and the guys. But yeah, Hinder had a great track called Homecoming Queen, and it's really about a small town girl that kind of falls on some hard luck. You know, she becomes a homecoming queen, and then like life after that kind of changes. That kind of happened in my life too. Not me personally, but our homecoming queen. And I love her to death, but it's interesting how life takes people. Some people peak in high school. Number 7, we had Motorhead on Monday. We had Dio on Monday. They're back again. It's Dio's Evil on Queen Street. Very bluesy song. And that's the thing about Ronnie James Dio. You know, Ronnie sang a lot about dreams and fantasy and medieval type stuff. And it was kind of his thing. But this is an interesting song. A deeper cut that maybe you don't know as well off Lock Up the Wolves, which is one of the better albums. Probably after Holy Diver, Lock Up the Wolves might be the best album in the catalog. Some will argue, but Rowan Robertson, my distant cousin, I don't know that for sure, but we'll claim him, was the lead guitar player on Lock Up the Wolves. He eventually leaves Dio and pairs up with our friend Ani Logan, who my son is named after. He pronounces it Oni. We pronounce it Ani. But they had a little band together called Violet Demise. My buddy Chad Stewart from Faster Pussycat was drummer in that band for a while. And then eventually it was released as the Logan Robertson Project. I have a copy of that sent to me from Oni himself. Super cool. But it's, you know, that's what happens in music. Bands don't last forever. The ones that do are worthy of remembrance. But Rowan Robertson worked with him. So that's a little bit of an insight there. But I love the blues part of this. And, of course, we talked about the Ronnie James Dio tribute album. And Rowan and Oni worked together on a cover of I, which is an old Black Sabbath song. Number 6, it's Queensryche. And ironically, the name of the song is Queen of the Reich, which is probably one of the best vocal performances of Jeff Tate's career. And it came very early. Like, I've been a Queensryche guy for a long time, but it took me a while, to be honest with you. Like, the operatic stuff early on, I like a little more grit, you know. Love Sebastian Bach. Think he's the Robert Plant of our generation. But as I really got into Queensryche, really on the Rage for Order, when they opened for Rat, the Invasion of Your Privacy tour, that's when I was like, you know what? I kind of like these guys. You know, when the Warning album came out, they had this song, you know, Gonna Get Closer to You. And I didn't get it. And I Only Dream in Infrared. It didn't really get to me. But then I went back after I bought Rage for Order, which I loved. Walk in the Shadows is amazing. Love it. I gave those albums a try. Now I own them all. I'm a big Queensryche guy. You guys know that Operation Mindcrime is one of my favorite albums of all time. And again, if you don't know that album, you owe it to yourself. It's theater, right? It's a concept album. I think you'll dig it. But Queen of the Reich, again, going back in hindsight, you begin to appreciate the beauty and majesty of that song. No pun intended. Number five, well, it's not a song. It's a song that I dig, but I wanted to work in. It's Queens of the Stone Age. I know many of you like them, but I dig this song. I have from the beginning, and it gets played a lot. I think maybe Queens of the Stone Age maybe don't get their due or their notoriety, but it's No One Knows at number five. Number four, and all of these the rest of the way, I think, are either iconic bands or iconic songs. Back from Appetite for Destruction. This was a song that was a fan favorite. It was never released as a single, but we all loved it. And it's kind of like a Mrs. Robinson relationship. It is, which is, there's too much of that. There's too much of it today, I'm just telling you. And maybe it's Guns N' Roses' fault, but it's Rocket Queen from Guns N' Roses. Now, here I am, your Rocket Queen. I might be a little young, but honey, I ain't naive. Yeah, there we go. Number three. And I wore this shirt just a few days ago. My wife tells me, we shot pool last night at Rick's, and I always play Name That Tune with her. Hey, who sings it? Who sings it? And more times than not, she gets it. But I was giving her a clue last night. I said, I have a shirt for this band. She said, baby, you have a shirt for every band. And that's not true. That's not, unbeknownst to her, there's a bunch more shirts that I'm going to buy. But this is an interesting shirt, and there's a Mike Leach story that goes with it. Mike and I were getting our picture made. Somebody asked us to get their picture made with us at a football practice. And I had this shirt on, and Leach says, hey, what's on your shirt? And I said, it's a Sex Pistols, coach. He goes, well, I just want to be sure, because I can't be out here getting my picture made with you wearing a legalized marijuana shirt. Not that I own one of those or I advocate for those kinds of causes, but I just thought it was funny that he was okay with the Sex Pistols, but not with marijuana. But nevertheless, that's Coach. Love him to death. God rest his soul. But we're going to go with God Save the Queen. Very controversial song. And of course, Sex Pistols only had the real one album. Never mind the bollocks. Here come the Sex Pistols. God Save the Queen. A lot of people were very upset about this, but it's one of those songs, too, about irreverence and about people kind of standing up for their rights. If you have not seen the Hulu series Pistol, I would encourage you to watch it, even though much of that has been romanticized, like they have this Steve Jones and Chrissy Hynde romance that supposedly didn't happen. But nevertheless, it was fun to watch all that stuff. Number two, couldn't have a list of Queen songs without Her Majesty the Queen. That's right, Queen itself, and it's Killer Queen. One of the best Queen songs in the catalog. I think it's one of Freddie Mercury's best vocal stylings. Huge Freddie Mercury fan, have been all of my life. I guess since I was 8 years old when I bought Queen the Game LP with my own money, my birthday money. I bought it and I wasn't smart enough to understand that she had to pay sales tax. And so my stepdad gave me the dollar to pay the sales tax, and then I had to do chores to earn the dollar. But it was my album. And I still have it. Still have it. My second album that I bought was Styx Rockin' the Paradise. I'm dating myself, but even from an early age, I had great taste in music and bought a couple of classic albums to kind of get started. Number one, though, in many respects, this band was kind of a one-hit wonder. However, if you like guitar tone, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the great Leslie West in Mountain. This riff is as Southern rock as it gets. It's Mountain's Mississippi Queen. Of course, we play at a lot of Mississippi State sporting events. It gets Brian Haydad really excited because Brian Bean from Vicksburg, he really loves that line, and I always get a kick out of him when he's at baseball and has the opportunity to hear that song. But there's just something sonically with this song, especially on the guitar side, that really separates it. Leslie West, I think, was ahead of his time a little bit, and the rhythm part, the solo part, everything, about this song just to me just kind of speaks of quality. So that's your number one track. We'll come back on Friday and likely conclude our series with Jax. We got a few tricks up my sleeve for that too. If you have an idea or a challenge, and I like a challenge, you know, like Roy one time said, I bet you can't do one with Thanksgiving menu items, and he was wrong. He was wrong. I can find a way to make it work. I'm here for your challenges. Hit up Roy Samanti, our friend, on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Our great list appear on his Spotify channel under the same name. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. I'm not a Spotify guy. I'm an iTunes guy. But this is where we have our list. And feel free to go check them out. We tweet them out as Roy gets them online. And again, very grateful for Roy Samanti and all he does to help the show. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they give us exactly what we want. That's more Mississippi State merch. I can't get enough of it, honest to goodness. Rock Band t-shirts and Mississippi State merch is probably the two things that I want to procure the most. Yeah, it's true. But when I need Mississippi State merchandise, that's where I go. Whether I'm buying a baseball jersey for a friend or a cowbell to give to somebody for the very first time, I do my business at Campus Bookmart, and you should too. They've served you for many years. Neatly positioned on the backside of campus, go by and see their smiling faces next time you're in town and on your way to one of Mississippi State's historic sporting venues. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, hit them up online. CampusBookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet. We'll give you a promo code that'll help you, BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. So whether you're looking for football-related stuff, and let me tell you, I know that I'm being judgmental here, and please don't misunderstand. I know some people are doing the best they can. I think you wear football gear for football games. You wear basketball gear for basketball games, and you wear baseball gear for baseball games. That's my feeling. Now, maybe you just have to get one Mississippi State shirt that kind of fits all needs, and I get it. But, like, wearing a DAG jersey to a basketball or baseball game, I think that's a faux pas. I think so. So let's not overthink it. Go get some new football gear before this football season. You know, I mean, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't think you should wear a Mangum jersey to a football game either. I think there should be a sports-specific wardrobe. And again, I get it. Not everybody can go buy a t-shirt for every sport. However, when you're coming to town, it's not like going to a show where you're not supposed to wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. I do that all the time. I don't care what anybody else thinks. But you need some new Mississippi State gear. Mom, go ahead and buy yourself something too. Dad won't mind. He won't mind. Not that it matters anyway, right? Buy yourself something, buy the kids something, whether you're going to take a summer vacation or perhaps a end of the summer trip, go out and rep the Bulldog brand where you go with some new Campus Bookmart gear. All right, working through our opponent previews, we will get the University of Texas after the trip to Florida. We'll play the Texas Longhorns in Davis-Wade Stadium. First time in over 30 years. We had some great success against them in the early 90s with Jackie Sherrill, but Jackie was kind of a guy that owned Texas. But looking back at last year, and we said on this show, and not some big hot take, we expected Texas to make the playoff. And I feel like they probably even overachieved. And give Sark a lot of credit, man. There were a lot of people that were somewhat reluctant to kind of get on board with Sarkisian and Texas football. They've done a great job. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Looking back at last year, they opened up with a 52-0 shelling of Colorado State. They went to Michigan and absolutely bullied Michigan in the Big House, 31-12. At the time, Michigan was ranked number 9 in the country. And that's when you kind of knew Texas was for real and Michigan wasn't. Texas San Antonio, the next victim, 56-7 pasting of the Roadrunners. And then Louisiana Monroe's, the, you know, all you just look up and these scores are just ridiculous. 51-3. You'd expect Texas to beat Louisiana Monroe, but the guys, and three out of four games, 50-plus points offensively. It's pretty good. And then we went to Austin. Now, we lose this game 35-13. We just kind of ran out of gas, and they had more talent than us, too. I mean, there's no way I'm going to sit here and say we should have won this game. However, at the half, it's a 14-6 game. And next thing you know, as the third period opens, State gets a ball. Yeah, Stone Blanton recovers a fumble. So all of a sudden, we have the ball out near midfield and a chance to go down there and take a lead. But instead, Michael Van Buren gets sacked. And from there, it was pretty much church, right? I mean, we played hard. Don't take anything away from the Bulldog effort. But we couldn't finish. And we didn't have the talent to finish. I'm not going to sit here and romance this game and say, oh, this could have been our shining moment. Texas was by far better than us. But I think we grew up a little bit, and how tough a job was that for Michael Van Buren to go on the road, first start on the road against a quality opponent like Texas, and to play as well as he did. Let's see. 2 weeks later, they have the Red River Shootout. They absolutely destroyed Oklahoma, too, 34-3. It took a while for Oklahoma to figure anything out offensively. And that's why I'm so interested to see what Jackson Arnold looks like at Auburn. How much of it was Jackson Arnold? Right? You know what I'm saying? How much of it was him? Well, then Texas plays Georgia. Now, we had played Texas and Georgia both. And I thought to myself, when we left Athens, Georgia, I thought, you know what? This team will go as far as quarterback play can take them. But I thought they were going to struggle to beat Texas. After playing Texas and playing Georgia, I just felt like the quarterback situation in Texas was so much better, even though they played two quarterbacks. I just thought to myself, man, if this is really Georgia, two road trips to two top five teams, and I thought, you know what, I just think Texas is better. Well, Georgia marches right into Darrell K. Royal Stadium and beats Texas 30-15. I'm like, you know what? I was wrong. Maybe Georgia does have what it takes. Maybe I'm overselling Texas. Well, the next week, they got to go on the road. And they narrowly escape Vanderbilt with a 27-24 victory. And listen, Vanderbilt was playing well at the time. But I thought, you know what? Maybe the book is out now. You know, Quinn Ewers was down some in and out of the lineup, that sort of stuff. But I thought, you know what? Maybe people have watched enough film now. They kind of figure out what Texas has got going. Maybe they're just going to be okay. But then they kind of found their stride again. They destroyed Florida 49-17. They go to Arkansas, and you knew Sam Pittman would have his guys up to play this game. You knew it, right? It means a lot to those old Razorback fans. Old Southwest Conference matchup. And then they beat Arkansas 20-10. Again, competitive game. They get Kentucky 31-14, and then they go to College Station, Texas, and win 17-7. While offensively they may not have been especially proficient down the stretch, defensively they were really good. Really good. Talk about playing complimentary football. They get another shot at Georgia. It's in Atlanta. It's supposed to be a neutral field, but it goes to overtime. Georgia wins it, 22-19. First round of the playoff, they get Clemson. A lot of people were kind of like, you know, thinking Clemson and, you know, Arizona State were just kind of pretenders to the throne. Well, they get Clemson 38-24. And to be honest with you, my recollection of this game, I don't remember it being as close as the final score indicated. You know, Clemson kind of got out of the chute quick. And then Texas puts together a run there and kind of gets some separation at the break. And they win the game 38-24. And then there was this, basically, we talked about this when we previewed Arizona State, kind of a legendary type game. I loved the playoff. I did. And I love college football. And I love watching quality teams play against each other that have something to play for. And how many times did we think this game was over and Texas is going to put it away? But it goes double overtime. Texas wins. But, again, give Arizona State a ton of credit. Huge game. And a return to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for Texas. And then you play Ohio State in the semifinal. And it's a 28-14 game. But, you know, the thing that I remember about this game is just how incredibly competitive this thing was until you get to the fourth quarter. Ohio State gets up 7-0. Texas ties it. Ohio State goes up 14-7. Texas ties it in the third. And so, hey, we're going. It's a tie ball game going down to the fourth quarter. Ohio State scores, and you think, okay, Texas is going to come back and tie this game late. Well, they nearly did, but instead, there was a scoop and score fumble return, 83 yards to pay dirt to allow Ohio State to put this thing away. Great game, and I thought Texas played in a lot of great games last year. Expected to be very good again this year, right? And, you know, that's the thing, too. It's going to be interesting to see how stringent the enforcement is on this cap stuff. If this is a year you can kind of supplement as they kind of season everything in. But kind of going forward, it's going to, supposedly, by rule, it's supposed to be more difficult to stockpile talent. We'll see. Texas will open up in a rematch of their final game of the year at Ohio State. That's going to be a fun one. Think about that. Now, they're playing the same time we are. Maybe DVR it and watch it later, but it's going to be a ton of football on that day. But that's a pretty big matchup right out of the chute. I mean, you talk about kicking off the season with some style. A playoff rematch in week one at the Big House, at the Horseshoe, pretty significant. The next week, Texas gets San Jose State, and it's UTEP and Sam Houston. And so you feel like they'll coast. Like you get Ohio State early, and then you can coast the next 3 weeks, even if you drop that first game, and Texas will be up for it. It's tough to go on the road. It's basically an SEC game, right? The game. Ohio State, probably the most SEC-like team from a talent standpoint in the Midwest territory. After all four non-conference games are played, Texas goes to Florida. Interesting. And this is after a bye week, too. They'll have the open, play Sam Houston, have the open date, and they go to Florida. You got to like Texas' chances there. Then you got the Red River Shootout. And it's kind of interesting now that's an SEC game. You know, we used to watch that when we were kids because it was, you know, middle of the afternoon. A lot of times it was against top 25 teams. Now it's an SEC game. And the Cotton Bowl, which needs renovation. Then they go to Kentucky. And the thing that's always so interesting, you know, to me, it's like with the spread offenses, Stoops always seems to have a plan to kind of negate the quarterback run a little bit. So what will they do with Arch Manning? It's going to be interesting. After the road trip to Kentucky, they come here. And so they'll play four consecutive weeks. Mississippi State will be the fourth consecutive game for them. Of course, they have that open date after Sam Houston. And then after they play us, they've got Vanderbilt, open date before Georgia. So we will be the fourth game in a series of five straight. And three of those five are road games. And again, no matter how talented you are, having to go on the road sometimes can be very difficult in this league. And dare I say it too, you know, Vanderbilt gave them all they wanted and then some last year. It'll be interesting. Very interesting. Again, I expect Texas to come in here and win this game, but I kind of like where we lay on the schedule. Let me get out ahead of myself. I don't see us beating Texas. But four straight games in the SEC takes a toll on you. As mentioned before, after the second open date, they'll play Georgia on the road in Athens. Then Arkansas comes to Texas, and then A&M. And the thing you look at with this schedule, you ask yourself, where are the sure losses? Well, I don't see any sure losses, but I think the road trip to Athens could be difficult. But obviously they'll be up to play that game after losing to Georgia twice last year. And again, it's going to be a much different dynamic with Arch Manning running the show full time. And Arkansas, of course, I think will at least be competitive in this ball game. But, we'll see how things go. But, I think it's safe to say Texas right back in the playoff this year. I think you guys, again, nobody's breaking any news here. I think we all see it the same way. But the road trips to Columbus and the road trips to Athens could probably put them in like a 10-2 situation. And that's only one conference loss, which likely puts them in the SEC championship game. They scored 33 points a game last year and gave up just over 15. When you are doubling up your opponents, you're winning games. And they did, without any question. And again, you run through the numbers and everything favors Texas. No surprise there, right? But when you look at like passing offense, we talk about how good the running game could be at times. They threw for 4,460 yards last year and then gave up 2,781. Nuts, man. And it's not like they were running the air raid. A little more pass happy than most, but they still rushed for over 2,500 yards. Now, granted, they played more games than everybody, but when you look at, you know, the differential, it is more of a passing type offense, or at least it was last year. And we'll see how they change things up a little bit. But 7,000 yards of offense. And again, the extended playoff is a part of it, right? You know, the more games you play, the more numbers you're going to put up. But you think about this percentage-wise, that their opponents played the same number of games against them. 7,000 yards of offense, and you give up 4,539. So basically, you outgained your opponents by like 2,500 yards. Pretty crazy stuff, man. Scored 68 touchdowns, allowed 27. It's pretty crazy to look back in hindsight and really see how good Texas was. And you said, but Steve, they're one game away from playing for a national championship. And I get that. But I think in many respects, they kind of flew under the radar a little bit. I think because they got established early on. And I think we were all wondering, okay, well, who will play Texas? And then they kind of quietly went about their business and got things done. Going to be very, very interesting this year. I like the Texas team. I do. And again, I think they're going to go as far as Arch Manning can carry them, right? I mean, Arch Manning played in 10 games last year. They only attempted 90 passes, but you know, completion percentage of right at 68%. Threw a couple picks, but 9 touchdowns. They had 3 quarterbacks last year. I guess 4 quarterbacks technically that threw passes last year. But it's not going to be interesting to me to see how do things change. Matthew Golden was one of those pass throwers too. How things change. Because Arch Quinn Ewers is a good athlete. Arch Manning a better athlete. I think we'd agree with that. I think that's one of those things you look at and you begin to kind of ask yourself too, is like, you know, the Sark system is the Sark system. But how much of that changes based on the skill set of the quarterback? And of course they had some very mobile quarterbacks when he was at Alabama. I think maybe you learn some things there along the way. A more modern brand of football. Again, it seems like every 3 or 4 years we change how things are going to go. But they don't have to be, I think, necessarily dynamic on offense because I think this defense is going to be so good. And it was last year. But, you know, this is a group that's going to return a lot of people and a lot of people are going to be talking about what the offense is going to look like, but I think Arch Manning and that group is going to get a lot more opportunities because of this defense is going to record a lot of three and outs. One of the most important things to me is playing complimentary football. We talked about it. You got to get stops. Texas secondary may be a little bit of a work in progress. You know, Malik Muhammad's a guy, too, that they expect some big things from. But, you know, they got some pieces back. There's no question about that. But I like this team. I like their prospects of playing for a national championship. And, again, we talk so much about the running game, and we talk about defense. You know, defense wins championships, as everybody says. And when you've got a playmaker under center like Arch Manning, that really makes a difference. And then you return your leading rusher in Quentrevion Wisner. I think you can feel pretty good about life. I think there's any question about that. But that's your preview. And, again, not going to pick State to win the game, but I think probably, you know, it helps our chances a little bit, the fact that they're going to go through a bit of a juggernaut before they get to us. All right, last segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're getting a large group together, and you certainly should. We say it all the time, we don't get together enough. Well, let's be about it and not just talk about it. You make the plans, you check availability, and then you contact the people you love the most, and you get them together. Everybody's just waiting for somebody to make the first move. Let that be you. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate, and you can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that great back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. You'll be glad you've got them. You'll be glad that everybody's under one roof. Instead of everybody being littered throughout the Golden Triangle, you can have everybody together, because it's those moments in between the big moments that mean the most, right? That's where the greatest memories are made. Just kind of getting caught up, talking about what's going on in your life. You never know when somebody may need you, right? So rather than wait for somebody else to invite you, you do the inviting. Now, after you Googled Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up. You can go with the Airbnb or VRBO route. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know your needs or your situation, but I know this. If you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. Book through Evolve and use promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson 10, BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay. You'll be glad you did. Make those memories today. They will last you a lifetime. All right, everybody's been asking, what's the latest on Zach Selman and the Oklahoma AD search? There is no update to provide at this point, but I have talked to some people that do believe that, hey, there is a possibility this could be an issue. And again, that's not breaking any news. I know many of you feel that way. And there's some people out there that are like, you know what, I'd be okay if we made a change. Other people are like, no, we need to have some stability. But the reality of it is that's one of the things that happens when you get people who are ascending in their careers. And one of the things, like, I like people that are experienced, but I don't like people on maybe the tail end of their career that maybe have lost a little bit of the fire. Zach Selman has plenty of that. I know Zach Selman obviously will be a very serious candidate. Zach made a post on Twitter talking about the retirement of a couple people that have been mentors in his life, and Joe Stiglione was one of those people. Talk about how in the last week, 10 days, there have been two giants in the industry that have elected to move on. And if you go read the comments, it's half Mississippi State people saying stay, and the other half is Oklahoma people saying, Zach, it's time to come home. And again, it's been a good 6 months for Zach Selman and Mississippi State. And one of the things that I like about having somebody like Zach Selman is Zach Selman is ambitious. Zach Selman is a guy that has found a way to get things done. You know, we have requested and at times basically demanded a football-only IPF. And you go back again to Leach years, and Leach is like, hey, it's a waste of money because I'm not going to use it. But, you know, you got to do what's best for your football program. You know, whether the coach wants it or not, right? Sometimes you got to save people from themselves. But even if Leach didn't utilize it, we could have put some things together. But at long last, we've kind of got some plans made. The LED lights, that's something that people have coveted. You know, we wanted to upgrade the game day atmosphere at Mississippi State. Davis Wade Stadium at times has been a little antiquated. They're like, hey, well, this is what we're going to do. Sat in a room with Zach Selman, along with some other members of the media, shortly before he made the announcement. And it looked like we were going to have to put it off for a year, but Zach found a way to get it done. And then, of course, Zach Selman gets Jan signed to an extension. It was an automatic rollover. It's part of it. And then, of course, Sam Purcell mentioned the Brian O'Connor move. And I've had some people say, well, you know, all of that was really to make Zach look good. You know what? I'm perfectly okay with that because Mississippi State benefits from it. Anything that is good for Zach Selman, while he is the athletic director at Mississippi State, is good for the Bulldogs. And so that's how I see that. Hey, has Zach Selman gone out there and tried to prove himself as an athletic director in hopes of one day returning to Oklahoma as their AD? Probably so. Yeah, I mean, just think how you would feel. Like if you were given the opportunity to come to Mississippi State and work for the Bulldogs and live in Starkville and have the opportunity to be around all the things you love, well, yeah, you're going to take that job, you know. And so it's important that we don't maybe rest some standards on Zach Selman we're not prepared to carry ourselves. But no, I can't tell you right now what's going to happen. I do feel extremely confident that Oklahoma will interview Zach Selman, even if they elect to go in a different direction, because of the fact that Zach Selman comes from the first family of Oklahoma football. There's going to be a lot of pressure on that administration to give Zach Selman a look. And I don't know if this is the right time or if Zach Selman's the right person. That's not my decision to make for the folks in Norman, Oklahoma. They have to make that decision. But I do feel confident. Hey, we've got some things trending in the right direction. I think the athletic department, for the most part, is healthy. You know, obviously, everybody's dealing with some budgetary crisis type situations now. And you look around the country, too, like, you know, USC just announced some changes. Arkansas has announced some changes. There's some big-time schools out there that have eliminated some positions. And there are some people that work at Mississippi State right now that have done a great job for Mississippi State for a long time that are of benefit to all of you. They're having to sweat this thing out, too. And I think that's important for us to understand. It's not just Zach Selman and Rachel and their girls may leave. A new person may come in and want to bring their own people in. And that's what Zach Selman did, too. Now, well, he'll probably take many of his people with him should he go. But in the past, when these situations have come up, I've reached out to Zach Selman directly. I hadn't done so yet, but I will. You know, when his name was mentioned in connection with the Texas A&M job, the TCU job, the Missouri job, the USC job, I called him. I goes, hey, there's some rumors out there of this. And every time Zach has taken the call, that's one thing I will give him a lot of credit for. I have never at any point ever felt that I was arm's length from Zach Selman, ever. Shortly after I met him, he gave me his phone number. If you need something or if I need to know something, you feel free to call me. And he meant that. I had a great relationship with John Cohen. I had a good relationship with Scott Strickland. And I think I probably have a better relationship with Larry Templeton now than I ever did when he was the athletic director. But the people of Mississippi State have always been very accommodating because they understand that we're a conduit to get their messaging to all of you. And we have to go ask these questions on your behalf. And so, but every time that I've called Zach, I mean, I've had some people telling me that he was expected to be a finalist for the Texas A&M job. And Zach says, Steve, I'm not even going to be a candidate for that job. And there's all these search firms out there. Parker Search is a company that we utilize too. Well, they have a relationship with Zach Selman. And so that times they've pushed his name on some people. And the no matter what people think, there's all this confidentiality agreements. Stuff always gets out. It always gets out. And when we did our AD search hot board, we had Zach Selman's name on the very first board. Because things get out. And people are like, oh, there won't be any leaks. There are always leaks. There's leaks in the federal government, as you've seen. And maybe not enough of those. But my point being is I think the situation at Oklahoma is very interesting. Because of the fact that Joe Castiglione is going to hang on for a couple more years as the AD emeritus. And so you begin to think the dynamics of that. Like, I would never want to go take a managerial job with the outgoing guy looking over my shoulder for 2 years unless I had a relationship with them. Does that make sense? Because I don't know how they do things. They don't know how I do things. So if I show up and I'm like, hey, I'm the AD. This is what I want to do. And all of a sudden, does the guy that I'm replacing, does he have veto power? You know, you look at the whole situation in Florida, like when Scott Strickland got there, all this talk about Jeremy Foley and Scott made some good decisions down there that he, like any good decision, people said, well, that's Jeremy Foley. Any bad decision, people blame Scott Strickland. It wasn't fair. But it's going to be a similar dynamic at Oklahoma. And so I think, this again, my opinion, I think Oklahoma will hire somebody that has a relationship with Joe Castiglione. And that's a number of people. It's not just Zach Selman. There are a number of people since 1998 that have spent time working for the athletic department at Oklahoma. But I think if you got ready to put a list of candidates together, that's probably where you start. Because people hire people they know more times than not, especially in positions of power. You hire people you trust. You hire people that you know. And so has Zach Selman maybe pushed the envelope the last 6 months to ensure that he is a candidate for that job? Possibly. But again, there's no downside for Mississippi State because our student athletes and our fans are going to benefit from the decisions that have been made the last several months. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And as I shared on the last show, I mean, I think we need some stability and continuity. I think you guys would agree with that. But the reality of it is when you hire young people that are ambitious and very enterprising, they don't typically stay long. You know, you look at our industry, right? I mean, how many Clarion Ledger beat writers have been there in my near 30 years of covering Mississippi State? That's what happens when young people come along. Eventually, they get married, and eventually, you know how that works. You know, you get married, and you move back closer to her people, right? That's just kind of how it works, especially when it gets time to have kids because of the fact you need an infrastructure around you. Not everybody has the benefit of doing that, but there are a lot of people that do. That's how life works. But young people are very transient. And you look at Stefan Krasnick, a guy that I like a lot, you know, comes to the beat, basically takes a promotion to run the sports Mississippi State side of things for the Ledger, leaves, takes a position covering Ohio State, got a little closer to home. You know, he's a guy that grew up there in Indiana. So he's a little bit closer to home. And that's kind of what happens with younger people. They haven't planted roots yet. But I want people at Mississippi State that are not just there to maintain the status quo. I want people that challenge us and push us forward from a fundraising standpoint, from a facility standpoint, from a competitive balance standpoint. Everything up there, we need to have somebody that is ultra competitive. I don't want somebody to show up. And I had somebody say this years ago. I've never forgotten this. I won't say who the coaching candidate was, but there was a football coach candidate that was very, very popular among our fan base. And somebody told me, I don't want to hire him because he knows what a lot of our fans are willing to accept. And I want somebody that is going to challenge us to be better. I don't want a football coach that's just going to be happy to go to Liberty Bowl every 3 or 4 years. I want somebody who's going to push us to heights we've never seen before. And I think we've had that, and we've seen that. And I think that's one of the more important things about what's happened to Mississippi State in the last 25 years is the fact that we have done some things to maybe narrow the gap a little bit. Of course, you know, money's always going to be an issue. We always got to be good stewards of our money. But I want people that can find a way. And I think that's one of the things that Zach Selman's done. And of course, he's got his share of critics, as did John Cohen, as did Scott Strickland, as did Larry Templeton, as did Greg Byrne. You know, Greg is probably one of those guys, too. Maybe he didn't stay long enough to have all this familiarity breeds contempt type stuff. And I like Greg Byrne a lot. I really do. Really like Greg. And I think one of the things that Greg did that maybe kind of modernized our athletic department is Greg made the $100 donor feel valuable. It wasn't just hanging out with the cigar boys and the guys who are going to have their names on buildings. Greg responded to every email. And it may have been, you know, kind of a short response or thanks for the support or I'll consider your opinion. But Greg made people feel important. And there were a lot of people that felt ostracized before Greg got here. Now, all of a sudden, those people felt like they had a voice. And to be honest with you, having a voice doesn't mean you deserve to get your way. But you deserve the opportunity as a shareholder in Mississippi State sports to have your voice heard. And I think that's one of the things that Greg did a good job of. Scott did some of that too. Maybe not as much, but he did. And, you know, Scott was, you know, anytime something went wrong, people made comments about Scott being a cheerleader at Jackson Prep and wearing penny loafers and things like that. Listen, I don't care about any of that stuff. They can wear sackcloth and ashes as long as we win. Makes no difference to me. You know, John Cohen gets the job, and Michael Bonner, probably the biggest scoop of his career, had it out long before anybody else did. And, of course, everybody in administration says, no, we're going to go through a search here. And to be fair, I don't know that it was fair to John either. You know, to have it out there, maybe it was a foregone conclusion that John was going to get the job. But the reality of it is that there were some people that didn't interview for the job because they're like, hey, the state's largest newspaper reported this. Why would I waste my time going to interview when you guys just can go down the hallway and hire a baseball coach? You know, so that's a double-edged sword at times. But, you know, John did some great things too. Didn't always get credit for him, but he did. You know, and I'll tell you, John's not the snuggly guy, right? John's the guy sometimes it's like hugging a cactus, right? I mean, John's not the guy. He'll spend time with you, whatever, but John's not the guy that's going to go, you know, he's not the Greg Byrne type in that respect. They come from the John Curry school. John Curry, I guess everybody comes from the Byrne school, but they're all kind of closely aligned as friends. But, you know, people forget, you know, John finished the baseball stadium. John started the renovation of Humphrey Coliseum. And some people are, oh, we just should have built a new arena, and it would have cost us more money than we could have ever raised. We made the best decisions we could at the time. With the gift of hindsight, it's a lot easier to be critical of things, you know. But and there's, again, some good things have happened really under each athletic director. And I think, again, the fact that Dr. Mark Keenum is so incredibly competitive, and he's got his share of critics too. Many of them are unjustified. There's some other people out there that feel very, very, you know, profound in their criticisms of Mississippi State, no matter who's making the decisions. And that's not to say that Dr. Keenum is above criticism. He certainly is. I mean, he certainly is a guy that has to wear some difficult decisions at times. But I believe wholeheartedly Dr. Mark Keenum wants us to be successful in every venture that we're a part of, athletically, academically, socially. And people forget what a name he has in college football right now. He's president of the college football playoff. And he's done some wheeling and dealing to kind of move this thing forward and get some expansion. And, you know, so he's a guy out there that's kind of on the forefront of things. But there are a lot of things we can do better. There are a lot of things Zach Sullivan can do better. There are a lot of things people on his staff can do better. There are things that I can do better and you can do better. All of us collectively, it's going to take us all. And I don't think we can take this consumer approach to things. We have to be contributors and not just consumers. We got enough of those. We got enough people out there that are just there to consume. And not everybody has the ability to commit financially, but they can help with the messaging. They can help with more of a unified fan base. And I think that's the most important thing of all. You know, I'm a Mississippi State Bulldog, and I absolutely love it. I do. I want to win more. I can tell you that. It does take a toll on you at times, and we've had a very difficult athletic year the past school year at Mississippi State. We truly have. You know, 2-10 football year, didn't win a game in a men's tournament, didn't win a game in a women's tournament. Yes, we made it. Don't win a regional in baseball. Don't host a regional in baseball. We end up having to make a coaching change. But, you know, we probably went out and made one of the biggest coaching hires in the history of college baseball. And now we got to give that time to take root. And that's one of the things you look at now. No matter what happens with Zach Sullivan, you know, Brian O'Connor's here. Brian O'Connor's at Mississippi State, a place that really cares about baseball. And so we'll move this thing forward, and we'll update you as we can, as we get information that we feel is credible. We'll share it with you. But at this point, there's not a real update other than to say that, hey, there's a lot of people out there pushing for Zach Sullivan. You don't need me to tell you that because he is probably the most obvious candidate in the country. And, of course, you know, Kendall Rogers tweets out yesterday, Kirby Hocut, another guy that's got a relationship with Caglione, is going to be a candidate. Mike Alford's a guy, it's a name that's been mentioned to me, is a guy that's going to have perhaps some interest in the job, and we'll see how things go from there. But at the end of the day, we have to do what's best for Mississippi State. And when people leave us, we just thank them for their contributions. We appreciate the time they shared the path with us, And even though we may be going in different directions now, we have to be focused on Bulldog business and what's best for Mississippi State. So I can't give you any code of conduct other than to say that we're just going to have to wait this thing out. I don't think it's something that's going to take a long time, though. I really don't. I'm not saying it happens tomorrow, but I don't think it happens in January either. You know, we'll see. And it's so interesting, you know, the conversation comes up. Well, will he bring Levy with him to Oklahoma to be the coach? Well, you know, when Jeff left Oklahoma, you know, a lot of people were blaming him for Brent Venables' shortcomings. And so unless he has a huge year this year at Mississippi State, I don't think he'd be a candidate for that job, right? He hadn't done enough as a head coach, right? And that's not me being critical. That's just a statement of fact. Be a tough sell to make that happen. So, you know, we've got to do what we think is best for Mississippi State. But my hope is right now that your focus, in addition to keeping up with baseball recruiting and the draft will start on Sunday, is that you're making plans to be in Davis-Wade Stadium as often as you can be this coming season, because Bulldogs are going to need you. We're going to need you. And it's going to be some warm weather games, so go ahead and start hydrating now. If you haven't secured some of your road game tickets, probably a good thing to do that. You're going to get a chance to see some good football teams in Davis-Wade Stadium. That's one of those things that people always say, well, I want to see good games and I want to see great teams. Well, hopefully you'll see a bunch of great games, but I know you're going to see a lot of great teams this year on the home schedule. And, you know, we look forward to kind of getting on the road a little bit too and going cover the Bulldogs. That's a big part of what we do. We take a lot of pride in what we do. We'd ask you to come join us over at jeanspage.com. We believe we do the best job in the history of this university when it comes to providing sports information, and over 300 stories a month. And a lot of those are free, so you don't always have to be a member. But if you're looking for Mississippi State information, look no further than jeanspage.com. If you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. Number 3 on the Mississippi bestsellers list. All these months after release, that thing is number 3. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for your support of that book. And we don't self-report any sales. That's the sales numbers from the independent bookstores in Mississippi. And so it's not anything that we can manipulate or anything like that. This is how the book is selling around the state, and we're very appreciative of that. Thank you so much for your support. If you can't make it to an in-state bookstore, let me encourage you, order signed copies of The Dude or any of my sports titles from dutynoblebook.com. The personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, there as well. You can get signed copies, for sure. And then in addition to that, too, come float with us at True West Float Spa, Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you have. She is a registered nurse, so she's not just a hired hand. She's somebody that's worked in wellness her entire adult life. And so she's going to be able to answer questions a lot more expertise than maybe somebody else can. But if you need a break in life, let us help you a little bit. Come float with us and visit truerest.com for more information, or just call Dana. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.